which is still the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Yes, amen.
Amen. I feel him in the house here this evening. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, that was weak, but I feel the Holy Ghost here today. Praise the Lord. Say how wonderful it is to see Pastor and Sister Copeland here tonight. They look the same as they did the last time I saw them, but I know their life has changed a couple nights ago. And I'm so happy to see the birth of that precious little boy. And I know that that is going to be the start of many wonderful memories. And so glad for them and honor them and their family and the ministry of this church. Lighthouse in Beaufort. Praise God. And I want to give honor to Brother Howard and Brother Sebo. I know moved to Conyers, didn't know anybody, ended up connecting with a group of business owners, et cetera, Loganville. And he was a part of that, and it was wonderful to work with a good apostolic Christian. Amen. You know what? That's the highest mark you can attain to, is to be a Christian.
Amen.
I believe this church knows that today. And so glad for him and the relationship over the years, working together, different things, different purposes. But amen. I'm so glad, most of all, for the great high priest. Amen. For Jesus Christ is with us here today. And who... I want to apologize. We couldn't bring our young people this evening. One of our young couples is getting married tomorrow. Of course, they're all involved in all of that. And two oldest sons are sick this evening. So I'm here by myself. But I feel young being with all of you guys.
Oh, yeah.
And I do feel a word from the Lord on my heart this evening. If you will go with me to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 18, and we're going to begin reading at verse number 29. The Bible says, "And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied unto the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down." Skipping to verse number 36, the Bible says, "And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again." Verse 38, "Then the fire of the Lord fell, and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench." Praise the Lord. Thank God we still have a God that answers by fire.
Yes.
Amen. I want to speak to you for a little while this evening, try to be conscious of the time. But I want to speak to you on this simple subject, the need for an altar.
Hallelujah.
The need for an altar. Can we lift our hands and ask God to have his way? Every voice, every heart, let's ask God for his help. Jesus, we thank you, Lord. people, he was probably some strange and unusual prophet. Praise the Lord. And to the prophets of Baal, he was a sham and a mockery and a diversion from their purposes. But I'm so thankful today that of all the things that he was a man of prayer.
Amen.
He knew how to touch heaven's throne. Amen. And when Israel needed somebody who could pray and talk to God, there was only one man that showed up there at that mountain. Amen. And who knew how to get a hold of God. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you today, but you may be known as a son or a daughter. You may be a cousin, brother, sister, etc. Amen. I don't know what all you may be today, but I hope there are some young people in the house that are hungry to learn how to get a hold of God. Hungry to know how to pray. Praise the Lord. Amen. We consider the context of the story. It is laid out here this evening. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on it today, but just to lay some background, if you consider the situation that presents itself here, the time of our text, the land is in chaos. There's a king with total disregard for the prophet. There is a queen with an agenda, a made-up god fashioned by somebody's hands, the figment of somebody's imagination. And she has at her side an army of prophets who are willing to prophesy whatever serves her purpose and who are willing to do damage and to rail against the things of God. And these are important to note, but that is simply the symptoms of the problem, because Israel was beset with spiritual rot and decay. Amen. That their hearts were turned away from the living God and unto idols. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's an amazing thing when you could go out to the forest and you can chop down a tree and you can carve it into an image made from your imagination, and then get down on your knees and bow before it and begin to pray as if it has ears that can hear, as if it has hands that can work, or feet that can run to your situation. Amen. And so the spiritual rot and decay is there. And as if it wasn't enough imagery for them to get a clue, they were experiencing a famine caused by a three-year-long drought in which there had been no rain. Praise the Lord. And when the people begin to suffer, and when they begin to notice that things have turned for the worse, amen, Elijah calls for the people to assemble at Mount Carmel. And he calls for them to gather their prophets and their worshipers and their methods. And he is going to have a contest of sorts there upon Mount Carmel. Amen. There a pitched battle between the prophets of Baal and an old-fashioned man of God. There was a battle between the new methodologies and the ancient way of worship. Praise the Lord. There was a battle between the desire for power and the need for an old-fashioned altar. Amen. And as the day wore on, the battle is pitched, and the prophets of Baal, they began to set up their sacrifice. And from morning until noon, they began to worship and to prophesy and to call upon Baal to answer them. Amen. Trying to find that their God would be the one to answer by fire and thereby settle who was really God. Hallelujah. Amen. And so from morning until noon, the Bible says there was no voice nor any that answered. They leaped upon the altar. They cried aloud. They cut themselves after the manner with knives and lightsticks. They were doing everything possible to get Baal to answer. Can I tell you today that just like the prophets of Baal, there are many in our world today who are seeking fulfillment and seeking for something to answer with misery. And no matter how they cry, push out the fill that they've been holding in their heart. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I'm glad that Elijah put forward this contest. Amen. Let me just tell you today that if we were to have the same contest again, I know who would win. It would be popular. It would be a seed of politics. It would be all the methods and manners and questions of this world. But there is one who goes by the answer. Amen. Elijah calls for all the people to come near. Amen. He wanted them to see him repair the old altar. And the Bible says he took 12 stones that were representative of the number of tribes, and he ordered them and set them into place, and then he put the word upon the altar in order, and he cut the bullock in pieces, and he dug a ditch around it, and he poured 4 barrels of water 3 times upon the altar, and all the people stood by, no doubt amused and in silence, trying to behold what would really happen. But in English, there is just 63 little words that he used. Amen. As he began to pray, and the people saw the fire fall from heaven, and as we read here today, it fell. It consumed not only the burnt sacrifice, but it consumed the wood, the stones, the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Can I tell you today what Pentecost needs is an old-fashioned fire to fall from heaven, to consume us, to consume our treasures, to consume our families, to consume our worship, to consume our church services, to consume our prayer.
Built on whim and fancy,
But there was something that went on that connected those people to their God. Amen. And so the altar was there, and the sacrifice, the word sacrifice, which has become unpleasant and characterized in our modern society as undesired. That sacrifice was the only original way to escape the penalty of sin. It was the only way to repeal the effects of iniquity. Hallelujah. Amen. And so they would create this altar and put a sacrifice on it, signifying their subservience and obeisance unto God. Hallelujah. And there they would worship. It wasn't just a matter of praise. It wasn't just a matter of music. But the smell of sacrifice was pleasing unto the Lord. Well, we think you've got a new way these days. But let me tell each and every young person in this room, if you want to grow to be one of the gray heads on the pew, you're going to have to learn to get a hold of an altar. You're going to have to put in your eyes yourself in the process of sacrifice. Somehow attracted by some magnetic pole, but they were built deliberately. They were built on purpose. When the Bible talks about altars being built, it says words like establish and set up. It says things like placed and arranged. Hallelujah. And so they began to build altars. And I don't have stones here today to lay one on top of another. But I hope you can imagine what it takes to pick up one stone and lay it upon another. A stone isn't built in an instant. Amen. But it takes time to put it together. It takes care. It takes affection. Hallelujah. It takes dedication and resolution. I'm going to build an altar unto the Lord. And it's not something that erodes automatically, but it's something set. It's something permanent. It's something built with the intention of lasting a long time. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You can read that sometimes they were built in a day, but the significance wasn't just that it was built in a day, but it was that there were many sacrifices placed upon the altar. Oh, amen. Many of you today, you did not even exist when this building was made. Your name hadn't even been thought of when somebody came to this town to start preaching. You didn't know anything about God when somebody began to kneel and pray and said, Lord, let's build a church here. Amen. God, there are people that need to be saved. Amen. Now you sit here on padded pews in air-conditioned room with soft plush carpet and beautiful musicianship and beautiful singing, and you think that that's what worship is all about. I'm going to tell you today, if you're going to really learn how to worship, you're going to have to learn how to build an altar. Praise the Lord. But I can talk about my church, and I can talk about our generation. And I fear the advent of a generation that is devoid of altar builders. We've got lots of people lining up to play music. We've got lots of people lining up for a title or some role in the church. Amen. But there aren't very many people lining up to be altar builders. It's a disappearing craft. It's a task and a chore that is unpleasant. It is something that is without any recognition or any high marks or badges. It doesn't come with marks on your sleeve. It doesn't come with a name and lights. Amen. But our generation needs to get us some altar builders. We know how to lay the stones. We know how to cry out. We know how to pray for them. We know how to raise the dead. And how to raise the dead. And how to keep the gifts. And how to pray on. And then just how to pray. And how to cry. And how to pray on. We need some altar builders. We need altar builders so that all men might know who is the one true God. Amen. We need altar builders at the workplace where sinners can go to them and say, hey, I don't know much about you, but I know I've heard you pray. And I think there's something different about the way you pray. But I don't need just anybody to pray. I need an altar builder to pray. It was starting with a bunch of people who know how to pray, who knew how to touch the Word of God. We need altar builders so that this world can know we're not just another God, not just another deity, not just some other figment of imagination, not just some other thing, some other ordinance set up to control and to rule men. Praise God. That's what they think of religion these days. Amen. But we need altar builders to show them what happens when you call on the name of the Lord. We need altar builders who can call their testimony. My cousin was healed. So-and-so was changed. So-and-so was delivered. And God took the step for you. And God was healed and delivered. That's the kind of altar builders we need.
Lord.
Amen. But let me tell you today that Abram learned how to build an altar. We find he did it in Genesis 13. Jacob knew how to build an altar. He did it in Genesis 35. Moses knew how to build an altar because he did it in Exodus 17 and called it Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. Joshua knew how to build an altar. He did it in Joshua 8. Samuel knew how to build an altar. He did it in 1 Samuel 7. Saul knew how to build an altar. He did it in 1 Samuel 14. David knew how to build an altar. He did it in 2 Samuel 24. Solomon knew how to build an altar. He did it in 1 Kings chapter 9. And I could go off here today. Let me just ask this question. You think you're going to do anything for God without first learning how to build an altar? Desire a relationship with him. Amen. Oh, some don't even have an understanding of what it is they're missing. What the benefit is of knowing how to build an altar and knowing how to worship and praise the Lord. Amen. We build lots of things today. We build careers. We build relationships. We build networks. We build homes. We eventually build marriages and families. But when do we learn how to start building an altar in our lives? At what point do we make that our primary goal, our number one objective, to lay everything else aside and say, my marriage isn't going to work if I don't know how to build an altar. My relationships aren't going to work if I don't know how to build an altar. My career isn't going anywhere unless I know how to build an altar. Amen. Just praying the other day. Scripture came to mind. Amen. Brother Perez, I believe is your name, is that right? He quoted it a little bit ago. The Bible gives us the key. Amen. The number one roadblock to prayer. And it's in 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Amen. Can I tell you that our world is treating us in such a way, or it's affecting us so that we think that we have to be full of pride and arrogant, and we're worried about our brand, and we're worried about our name, and how we're seen by other people. Amen. Everybody's focused on that here today. But what the church needs is people who know something different. They know how to humble themselves and pray. You will not ever learn how to pray unless you first learn how to humble yourself. Oh, hallelujah. I said that today and it felt like I was flying a lead balloon over this congregation. Amen. But we need to learn how to humble ourselves. Yes, you realize that you're not too big. You're not too big to need him. You're not too fancy to fall on your face. You're not too handsome or too beautiful. Your name means nothing. Your parents means nothing. You're not simple. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Amen. Can I tell you, we still need the fire of the Holy Ghost. We still need God to heal our lands here today. We still need the presence of God to sweep over a congregation until people are left on the floor weeping and crying out to God. I realize not every service ends the same way. Amen. But surely those moments are not dead from among us. Amen. Surely we are not incapable of leaving our musicianship behind and leaving our position behind and groveling on the floor before a holy and a righteous God. There's going to come a day when you're going to need God to answer with fire. You're going to need an answer with fire. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what? Today I feel in the Holy Ghost. Some people need to learn how to build an altar, but there's some other folks that need to learn how to repair an altar. Amen. 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 What Elijah did in this passage was he repaired an altar. Amen. There are altars that are laying in disrepair, unused, unappreciated, uncared. Amen. Oh, I wonder how many people walked by that old altar laying there on Mount Carmel in total disarray, pieces askew all over the side of that mountain. Amen. How many people walked by and said, I wonder what that used to be. I wonder what that was used for. Little kids looking at it, not having a clue what it meant or what it signified or how to use it or what to even do with it, what it looked like when it was all put together. Amen. But we need people who know how to repair altars. If you live for God any amount of time, you're going to have to learn to build altars and you're going to have to learn to repair altars. If there are young people sitting on these pews here today, you know how to build altars. But right now, some of the altars in your life are laying there unrepaired. They're laying broken. You have forsaken your fervor and your desire to live for the Lord. And now altars that used to be a powerful symbol of your relationship with God are laying in the dust.
Yes, amen. Hallelujah.
In Scripture, when an altar is repaired, the Bible says words like the altars are healed, renewed, purified. Oh, praise the Lord. I want God to repair some altars among us here this evening. Amen. Help us to repair these altars. Amen. If you've got an altar in disrepair, the same things that you had to learn how to do to build an altar are the same things you need to learn how to do to repair an altar. The number one step is always repentance. Well, praise the Lord. I hope somebody's still hearing me here this evening. Amen. There's a lot of things in life that a bunch of prayer, praise, and preaching will put back together. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. When Elijah repaired the altar of the Lord, he called the people around him. And I wonder that day how many of them had never seen an altar put together, right? Stood there in bewilderment watching him. He picked up one stone and put it on another. As he laid the wood in order, as he cut the bullock in pieces just the right way and laid it upon the ark, on the altar, how he dug a trench around it, which as far as I can tell was just to show them just how powerful that fire was. Amen, amen, amen. And so as they watched him, they observed him, they saw him put together an altar. Amen. I just want to tell somebody here today, if you're thinking you're going to find some time in secret to commit your life to God, you've probably got your priorities in the wrong order. Amen. Some things you have to do in front of other people. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Other people need to see you worship. Other people need to see you learn how to pray again. Well, your family needs to witness what it looks like when somebody gets their act back together again. Oh, the person sitting next to you on the pew probably needs a good lesson. And how, what order, what steps are required to put an altar back in place.
Come on.
Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Some folks are so afraid to make a commitment in front of others. Don't want everybody else to see how broken my life really is. Don't want everybody else to be able to tell others just how bad I was, what kind of shape I was in. Praise the Lord. You get hungry enough, you're not going to care about any of that. You're not going to care what the order of events are after this service and where the pizza comes from and just how much it is for snacks and what other events are going to go on. You're going to be worried about, hey, I need to get myself down to an altar and repent.
Stand up, you couldn't hardly hear what he was saying, but I
tears pour down his face. And I saw that old man over on the side of the room. And there he was praying, rocking back and forth, talking to God, his little feeble voice. And I said, I need to get close to an altar builder. I need to find somebody who knows how to pray. I'm not interested in playing patty cake anymore. I'm not interested in playing games and looking cool. I need a relationship with God. Sometimes what it takes to learn how to build altars is to find you another altar builder. Amen. To find somebody who knows how to repair an altar. Go get close to them and start praying like they pray. And get some of the fervency that they've got rubbed all over you. Amen. You might have to walk close to your pastor or pastor's wife and say, I'm not moving until I learn how to build an altar. I'm not moving from this place until my hands know what to do. And my mouth knows what to say. And my eyes really see how things really are. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm trying to tell somebody.
And everybody bow your head. Close your eyes. What's it gonna take, young man and woman? What's it gonna take for you to realize that you need more than what you're currently equipped with? You're gonna need an altar. You don't have to backslide. You don't have to taste the world before you realize how precious what you have really is. You have to experience amid the misery of iniquity before you realize your need for an old-fashioned altar. I hope today somebody can say, today is my time.